just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing because we need you now more than ever.
It's Andy. Would you like an extra episode of the podcast? Yes, you would. I'm going to have a quick word with Emma ahead of the final game in the series over in New Zealand. She's busy covering the games for Sky Sports. It's been a crazy couple of months, so what's it been like for you?
It's been crazy. Just been so up and down. And I think from speaking to lots of people, it's sort of been, you feel a little bit guilty for the situation that you're in. And I'm not working on the front line. I've not had immediate family bereavement. But I just struggling mentally. I like my own company and I like being at home generally, but I think just to have your freedom restricted and to not have the ability to catch up with people, train with people, has been really tough. And then I was in the UK. My husband is from New Zealand and went back to New Zealand for an operation. And so then we were apart, and it made it even worse. And then the New Zealand border was closed. I had trouble getting in. It's been a very odd time. But I'm still here, still pushing through. So, just hoping that it comes to an end.
Well, that's the case. I mean, over here, we've just gone back into another month's lockdown. So it's affecting everybody still. And just the fact that a lot of teams up and down the country, you'll be away from your teammates, and there's that regular contract weekly that's lost. So it's having to find ways to stay in touch with them.
It is, and I think lots of people, me included, play netball or train with netball for the friendship and the camaraderie and the ability to get motivation from other people around you. And so to instantly lose that is really, really difficult. One of my friends was messaging me saying she just really, really misses netball and she can't wait to get back to play. And I completely understand her because it's, I guess, missing the friends, but also just the physical nature of exercising and not necessarily realising that you're exercising because you're just having fun. And it's torn families apart. It's taken away people's means of activity and just forcing people to try and find different ways to do things. And it's nowhere near the same catching up on a video call to try and do your netball session as going to a sports hall or a court. And so it is really frustrating. And I'm just hoping that there's some sort of light at the end of the tunnel.
Shall we cheer things up a little bit? You're obviously on the other side of the mic for the time being on the commentary on the series at the moment between England and New Zealand. You got the nerves out of the way, first of all, at the World Cup, didn't you? So is it a little easier this time around? You're a bit more chilled.
No, I'm definitely not more chilled. I think I seem to do commentary in fits and spurts, and so I don't necessarily have that much consistency. And I think playing-wise, I'm confident, and I think it's just because I've had years of training and learning and understanding and analysing myself and others. It's very different, I think, being on the spot in front of a camera. And I sort of get you. I think across the World Cup, I was very nervous at the start and by the end was a little bit more comfortable. But getting back behind the mic for this series has kind of, it was almost like I was starting again, and I had the same nerves, the stress of not knowing if I know what to say.
What were all these voices in my ears? That kind of stuff.
Or how come my earpiece has fallen out and I can't hear the voices behind my ears? The voices in my ears, and I don't know if I'm talking for too long or not long enough. But then also I think COVID has affected my brain. I think in a similar way to some people who've had a baby tell me that you get like pregnancy brain, so you struggle to find words and your mind wanders and it's hard to concentrate. And I'm sort of suffering from that. And so I think I feel quite nervous that A, I'm not going to be able to deliver what's on my mind, or B, I'm not going to, by the end of getting to a sentence, I can't actually remember what it was that I'm trying to say in the sentence. So yeah, it's been interesting. I think the first game, I imagine it came across to viewers that I was quite tense, maybe. The second game, I got some feedback from a couple of friends and tried to implement that, so hopefully it looks a bit more relaxed. And the third game is today, and I'm hoping that I'm amazing.
Go out in a blaze of glory. All looking for... Hey, should we have a look at the CV so far? How important do you reckon it was just to actually get the games taking place?
You know, I think it's been tremendously important for netball internationally, but for England mostly. I think it's such an alien concept to not have a domestic competition and then to go into international competition. It's sort of one prepares you for the other. And I've just been so impressed with how the girls have managed themselves, handled themselves, and mainly how they've performed on court. I still just can't believe that they put out the performance that they did in the second test, especially off the back of not having played netball. And I think for the quality of international netball for England, this series was so important, because I think going for such a long time without playing, basically it puts you a little bit off the pace. And especially if you're not an experienced player, you don't necessarily know how to deal with issues that might arise during an international game. And so you need as much exposure and opportunity as possible. So this series has just been a godsend, I think, for the England Roses. And then also, I think the Silver Ferns, they also haven't played a series. They did have a series prior to this one, which was against the New Zealand Men, New Zealand A and the New Zealand Under-21s. But it's not an international match, so to speak. So again, they are obviously absorbing pressure on the international stage. And I think both teams are just really proud and excited that they've somehow managed to get an international game when the world is in turmoil. And I think female sport is definitely struggling internationally.
Yeah, I mean, we saw that at the end of the game in the huddle post-match. And game one, there was a lot of positives there, even though the scoreline went the way of New Zealand. Malks had said the younger members fitted in well, so would that be something you agree with?
Yeah, I definitely kudos to those girls who are inexperienced. New Zealand are the world champions. They've got, I guess, a few personnel changes with the players in this team, but there are still a number of players who went to the World Cup in that New Zealand side. And the young, inexperienced players from England came on relatively seamlessly and held their own. I think, yeah, Imogen Allison getting her first cap is an amazing experience, I guess, for anyone getting their first cap. But she slotted in well. She didn't look too much out of sorts, and I think it's just the start of a long career for her. The more opportunity she gets, I think, the more she's going to grow. But players like George Fisher, I think she went in with about 10 international caps, and she looks comfortable on court and relaxed. And the fact that she's coming to New Zealand, it was a nice introduction for her to the people of New Zealand. So they were already welcoming her and claiming her as their own. But yeah, I think it's just testament to the girls who are experienced, so the Jades, the Serenas, the Kadeens, in how they've integrated the new girls into the system and into the squad and learn from each other. And I think it's a balance of taking the energy and excitement from those who are inexperienced and partnering it with the level-headedness and the ability to understand what you're going into from those with the experience.
In the commentary, Sophie DL was compared to Helen Housby. So how do you think she did alongside that combo with Ellie Caldwell?
Yeah, I think Sophie DL, one of the things that
people would probably compare as Helen Hounsby for is her general physique. But I think she is similar to a young Helen Hounsby. She's got a lot of drive, and she actually runs around a ridiculous amount. I was saying to Anna Stanley, she'll soon learn to just conserve her energy and run the necessary lines that she needs to run and to lose the defenders. But I think she's combined really well with Anna Cardwell, and she's grown from test one to test two. She's definitely grown into it, and I think with more game time and experience, she will start to get a better understanding of moves that she has to make and moves that she doesn't necessarily need to make, and just the subtleties of playing in that goal attack position on the international stage. And I think also the New Zealand style is very different to any other style that you come across internationally. And so I think it's, again, just a learning curve for her to understand there's not necessarily any point running around like a headless chicken almost,
yeah,
because the New Zealand girls just leave you to run around and then play off you and pick you up as and when it's necessary. But I am impressed with her. I think her agility and shooting has been accurate, and yeah, I think there's it's the start of good things to come. And I think also the girls who haven't who weren't available for this series, it definitely, I think, going to make them have to step up and think, well, actually, there's now actually people who are pressuring me, and I can't just rest on my laurels. It's not just a given that I'm going to walk into this team.
We're speaking ahead of that final game. Second game, it was quite noticeable, and I enjoyed watching Quashi against Maya Wilson. Something that caught your eye too?
Definitely. I think that's going to be a battle for the ages. It's going to be, hopefully, for years to come, those two will be battling it out. And I think I did mention in the commentary that Maya Wilson is very strong physically, and is very capable of using her body to fend off defenders and hold her space and then open up clean and free for the ball. And I think she met her match somewhat with Razia, because Razia is also equally as strong and equally able to use her body. So it was just great to watch that challenge that they threw out to each other and see who came up better off. And it was, I think, 50-50. So in the first game, I think Raz, it was almost like she took her time to understand what was happening, but definitely had impact. And then by the second game, I'd say that Raz played amazingly, and almost she came out with a significant amount of ball, but actually I think the biggest thing that she did was not necessarily winning the ball, but taking Maya's attention away from what she was supposed to be doing. So
yeah,
Maya wasn't able to present as much as she usually would, or be free and in front and available. And so I think that is what Razia did really well, and that affected the whole of New Zealand's attacking play.
Nice to see that Bob's joined you on 100 Caps.
Yeah, Bob, she's a character. I think for anybody to get 100 Caps, a magnificent achievement, and she definitely is a character in the netball world, and so it was nice for her to celebrate. And I think also the fact that she played some club netball in New Zealand, it was nice that she got to celebrate. If it wasn't going to be in the UK, I think it was nice that it was here in New Zealand, because she understands the culture, and she was given a Ponamu, which is New Zealand's greenstone, and she understands the significance of that. And so I think it was just a great way for her to celebrate that milestone.
And she got a hip of her own at the end of the game as well in the huddle, so that was always special to her.
Yeah.
Everybody's gone out there at the minute just to get the game underway and get that extra experience, but 2022 is going to be a while off. But as part of Jess's plans, it's still going to be important as part of the build-up?
Yeah, I think 2022 probably feels like a long way away, I think, generally for people. But in terms of, I think, netball-wise and as a coach, it's just around the corner. So Jess is definitely starting from now to work out and figure out what she needs to do and who she needs to have in that team for 2022. So she's already started and I imagine she'll be pleased with what she's got available, and then just hopefully attempt to build from that.
But I mean, massive credit to Netball New Zealand for getting the series on.
Yeah, New Zealand as a country have done really well, and Netball New Zealand as well have. It's just commendable, I think, to they completed their domestic season, and the fact that they managed to negotiate with the government to allow Beaming and Roses to come here, I think just testament to the relationship that they've built over the years, and then just show off their gutsiness and determination. And I think lots of female sports in the UK domestically and also internationally has been cancelled, I think mostly due to funding issues, it would appear. And so it just warms my heart that netball has managed to have an international test. And I think it's amazing for Netball New Zealand, and it's, we're thankful for them, and also that England Netball also agreed and managed to make it possible for the girls to get down here. But also, if the New Zealand public hadn't have been so adherent and responsive to their government guidelines, New Zealand wouldn't be open now for the test to happen. So I think there's a lot of people to thank, and Jeff Spilby will be very, very grateful. Happy that they managed to get here and played the two tests and the next one tonight as well.
I know what I was going to ask. Do you remember the day of the Netball World Cup where everybody in the media centre were treated to some Cadbury chocolate? That was the best day ever. So did that happen so far?
So I think you're referring to the fact that it's the Cadbury Netball Series and Netball New Zealand, or the firms are sponsored by Cadbury. There's not as much chocolate floating around as I thought there would be. However, there is quite an amount. But what I like is they've got big blocks of Cadbury Dairy Milk, and then they've got a cardboard sleeve over them, and it says, "You're a champion." And then it's got the Silver Ferns logo and a little bit of that. So I think it's just made it, it's not just any block of chocolate. It's special.
Oh.
A special block of chocolate.
Do you not want to go, yoink, I'll have a piece of that? That'd be me, that. And then I wouldn't have been allowed back in again. A really, really quick word on Birmingham 2022. Obviously, being part of the Team England board as well, but recent news that the largest para programme and more medals for women than men. That's a great piece of news, that.
It is brilliant, and it's the first time ever that there's going to be more medals for women than men. I always hop on about equality, and I don't necessarily think that there should be more for anybody, it should just be equal, but at the moment we're still pushing to get that equality. So I think if you positively swing things towards women, hopefully in years to come there will just be a balance. But it's amazing. And then I think also what is great for para sport and the Commonwealth Games is there's no other competition where para athletes are integrated with other athletes, and so I think it's just a celebration of athletes irrespective of who you are and what you do. So yeah, I think that's great for Birmingham to not only get to host the games but have some records to claim to as well.
Did you enjoy being part of NetFit and the INF 24-hour session?
Yeah, it was really interesting. Initially, when I read about the fact that it was going to happen, I was really excited. I think lots of amazing things have happened during COVID-19, and netball occasionally is on the back foot with lots of things, and I thought it was very innovative and a great idea. Sarah Wall from NetFit has a lot of great ideas, and it was just great, I think, that it came about, and I wanted to be involved once I was asked, and I wanted to watch the whole 24 hours, which was also quite difficult because sleep is also important.
Yeah.
But yes, it was just nice to be part of it, and I hope that it's a sign of things to come and that the netball world will be able to unite together to support the game, because I guess netball has been struggling somewhat compared to other sports, and COVID-19 is only going to make that a bit more difficult. So it was a great concept, and I hope there are more to come.
We mentioned earlier briefly, but George Fisher's going to be part of the New Zealand game, and let's be honest, her game is really going to grow and develop, isn't it?
It is, and I think that's the biggest thing, that she will get to come away and play against a different style of defence, but also play in different style of attacking play too. So that's just only going to grow her game, get her experience, and mean that when she goes back to play for the England Roses, she has other strings to her bow and has different dimensions to her game. So yeah, I think for her, it's a brilliant opportunity, and she knows that, and I think she's just excited to have it happen. But also, I think she's going to miss her parents back at home, but I know that they'll be out to visit her as long as the borders open and they're able to do that.
Well, great to see you on to the side of the court line, but hopefully it's not too long until we see you back on court playing the game you love.
I can't wait. I think I play netball for the actual netball part, not the training part, and so yeah, I just can't wait to actually be on court shouting, sweating, and yeah, just enjoying myself. So I'm hoping that sooner rather than later, and I'm hoping that the final test with the England girls is an improvement and gets an England win. So the second one was better than the first one.
Oh, wasn't it?
And so, yeah, I'm hoping that the third one is the one that we're going to win.
Thanks, as always, for your support. Remember, our first of this month's special ACL podcast, now online with Beth and Dyke. Really great listen. And you can always get in touch with us. Send us a DM at The Netball Show if there's something that you would like to hear.
Just wanted to extend a huge thank you from everybody at England Netball for your ongoing support and really throwing a spotlight on our brilliant game.
You've always been a huge supporter of netball in Northern Ireland and definitely our players across the franchises as well.
You've really helped take our sport to new audiences.
Thanks to you for your continued support, and thanks to everyone out there in social media land who is keeping netball alive, and just keep doing what you're doing because we need you now more than ever.